Chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, if you don't have a Bible with you, there are Bibles available right there underneath the tapes, and in fact, if you need a Bible, you just raise up your hand and the usher will bring you one. If you need a Bible to borrow for the service, just raise up your hand. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Father, I ask that you would bless now our time in your word. I ask that you would teach us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you this morning that we can have our sins completely and totally forgiven, wiped away clean. And Lord, I pray that as people who have been forgiven so much, that we would be those who forgive others freely. Teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We have slowed down quite a bit in our study of the Sermon on the Mount, this great sermon that Jesus preached. And we've slowed down quite a bit because we've come to the passage that we know of as the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is teaching us how to pray, what to pray. And so it's important that we slow down and really understand what he's teaching us. You know, if I think there was only one thing that we could do well in our Christian walk, if there was only one thing that we could do consistently in our Christian life, I think it should be prayer. Prayer's essential. Prayer is important. And Jesus teaching us on prayer, we will slow down and we'll make sure we understand exactly what he's teaching us. He has taught us in the Lord's Prayer that we are to spend a good deal of our time in prayer worshiping the Lord, nothing else, just worshiping him, ascribing glory to God. And then we've been taught by Jesus in this sermon that when we pray, we are to, without a doubt, pray for God's will to be done. We're also commanded by the Lord to pray for our needs in the Lord's Prayer. We are to pray for our physical, materialistic needs, as we studied last week. Give us this day our daily bread. But Jesus also teaches us in the Lord's Prayer that we are to be praying for our spiritual needs as well. And you know what? The Lord's Prayer does seem to emphasize spiritual needs, as well as other prayers that you'll study in the New Testament. My brother and sister in Christ, you and I are to pray for our spiritual needs, and we are to pray for the spiritual needs of other people in our lives. Very, very important. And I believe that the most important spiritual need of mankind, the biggest need for any person spiritually, is forgiveness. We all have the need to be forgiven of our sin. To be able to stand before God innocent, clean, spotless, wiped free from all your sin. That is the most important need. To know that you're forgiven. You know, it's interesting. Carl Menninger, the famed psychiatrist, once said that if he could convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them could walk out the next day. Oh, how people need to know that they're forgiven. That all their sins can be wiped away. Not long before she died in 1998, Margwanita Laski, one of our best known secular humanists and novelists, said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness." She says, "I have nobody to forgive me." If only she had known that she could be forgiven. Oh, our greatest need as human beings is to be forgiven. To be able to have the debts canceled, books cleared, new start. Well, the Bible teaches that you can be forgiven of all your sin. In fact, we're told to pray for forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. Let's read the prayer. Look at verse 9. Jesus says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." There it is. That's what I want to consider this morning. Jesus tells us to pray. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts. Forgive me. That word forgiveness, I think, is probably the most beautiful word in all of Scripture. I love forgiveness. I love the concept of forgiveness. And I love the Greek word that you find in the New Testament that is translated forgiveness. I love how it's used throughout the New Testament. It's used in different ways, and it gives you wonderful insight into what God can do with our sin. It's the Greek word aphiemi. And oftentimes in the New Testament, aphiemi is used to speak of sending somebody away, causing somebody to leave, go away. It can mean to dismiss a crowd. Oftentimes in the Gospels, when Jesus is teaching a crowd, when he's finished teaching, the gospel record will say he dismissed the crowd. He caused them to leave. He sent them away. He aphiemied them. You see it also used in that context in other Greek literature. There's Greek literature having to deal with war that's been found, where aphiemi has been used to speak of hurling, throwing something. It's like projecting a missile. It speaks of shooting arrows. Send it away. Project it. Throw it out. Aphiemi. It's also used in the New Testament to speak of letting something go so that you don't pay any more attention to the matter. Letting something go so that you don't give it any more further notice. You don't give something a second thought. Aphiemi. Remember the 12 men that Jesus called to be around him as his disciples. You remember before they were disciples, they were in the fishing business? You remember that? Most of them, they were fishermen. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." It says that they immediately left their nets and followed him. They aphiemied their nets. They left the fishing business. They never gave it a second thought. They didn't give it any more notice. They had a new job. So you forget the old job. That's aphiemi. I remember when I was in college at one summer break between semesters, I took a job at in the shoe department at Kmart. And I'll tell you what, people mess up shoes when they shop. I am telling you. They take those shoes off and they just throw them around. They wing them around. I remember going into aisles and seeing these shoes, and it's my job to straighten them up. I'm still sensitive to that to this day. When I go to a shoe department, I clean up a little. But I remember halfway into that job, halfway into the summer, I got a call and I was offered an engineering internship at the Phillips Laboratory on the Air Force Base, Kirtland Air Force Base there in Albuquerque. It was going to pay three times more. I aphiemied Kmart. I left. I didn't give it a second notice. I didn't pay any more attention to it. That's this word that's translated forgive. You don't even give it a second thought. And then, of course, forgive, aphiemi in the Bible, is also used to speak of an action, to remit, to pardon. The idea of letting someone go free, letting someone escape from a punishment that they deserve. It would be like committing a crime. You're deserving of jail, but your crime is forgiven. You go free. It speaks also of canceling a debt. You've got this huge debt. You owe it. You can't get out of it. But when you're forgiven, it's zeroed out, it's canceled. It's a beautiful word, this word forgiveness. And I'll tell you what, you apply that to forgiving of sins. When God forgives your sins, he hurls them away. He launches them, he throws them, dismisses them. When God forgives your sins, he doesn't give any more further notice to it. He lets them go. When God forgives your sins, he's pardoned you from the punishment that comes from sin. When God forgives your sins, he's canceled the debt. Books set to zero. It's beautiful forgiveness. Jesus here in this prayer is speaking of sin as a great debt that we owe. In verse 12, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's what sin is like. It's this huge debt that you owe God. And debt is a pretty ugly word. It's a pretty scary word. It's a formal, legal-sounding word. It literally means payment which is strictly owed. That which is justly or legally due. Something that you can't get out of, it must be paid. You know, in America, we understand debt pretty well, don't we? We live in a society that is in bondage to financial debt. Some of us are so in debt, I mean, it's just, you feel the pressure. It's stressful. I went to the internet this week and I found some statistics on debt here in America. Did you know that the average American household has 13 payment cards, including credit cards, debit cards, and store cards? There are 1.3 billion payment cards in circulation in the United States. Listen to this. Americans made $1.1 trillion worth of credit card purchases in 1999. Americans carry on average $5,800 in credit card debt from month to month. If one were to make only the minimum payment on that debt every month, it would take 30 years to pay off and include an additional $15,000 in interest. Listen to this. On average, the typical credit card purchase is 112% higher than if you were using cash. Over 40% of U.S. families spend more than they earn. And nobody's saving. 96% of all Americans will retire financially dependent on the government, family, or charity. Magazine cartoon shows a middle-aged lady talking to her boss at work. And she says, "I've decided to simplify my life. Just send my paycheck to Visa." I feel that way a lot of times with Walmart. I feel like half my cash goes to Walmart every week. Guys, we're in debt. And maybe you're in debt financially, and it's this stressful thing. You know, the Bible teaches that you're not to be in debt. You're to owe no one anything. A man in debt is a man caught in a net. It can be very tough. And if you are in debt, you need to get out of debt as soon as you can. You need to come up with a plan. You need to cancel that debt. It's a very stressful thing to be in debt. But listen, the Bible teaches that the worst kind of debt that you can be in is the debt that comes from being in sin. I'll tell you what, if you think it's tough being in debt financially, the Bible says that if you sin, you are in a debt up to your ears for all of eternity. The worst kind of debt that you can ever imagine. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And separation from God for all of eternity. God is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. Anybody sins one time, even if it's a little sin. You owe God a debt. Punishment. Death. Separation from God for all of eternity. That's the debt that's the worst. The Bible teaches there isn't any way that you can pay that debt by yourself. Absolutely no way. You can't go to church enough. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough money to the church. You can't do anything to cancel the debt. If you try to pay it back, you will not pay it back. The Bible does teach, though, that you can ask God to forgive you and you'll be forgiven. Your sins will be hurled out. The debt will be canceled. Jesus tells us to pray, forgive us our debts. Now, guys, I want to look at that prayer in verse 12 from two different perspectives. And this is a very important concept that I want to share with you. We need to look at this prayer in verse 12 from the perspective of a Christian praying the prayer. And then from the perspective of a non-believer, someone who's not a Christian yet, praying that prayer. It's an important distinction. See, if you are here this morning and you are not a born-again Christian, you've never converted to the Christian faith, so to speak. You've never asked Christ to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins. You've never responded to the gospel message personally for yourself. If that's you this morning, you are in debt. You are in big time debt. Your sins have not been forgiven. You are still in your sins. And you know, maybe I'm describing someone here and you're not the person who's got it in for God. You're not mad at God. It's not like you're, oh, I don't believe in you. You don't have that attitude. You'd like to believe in God, but maybe you just always thought you were a Christian, but you never actually knew what a Christian was. Maybe the whole idea of becoming born again or having your sins totally forgiven, that's something that doesn't mean a whole lot to you. Why? Let me share with you. Listen to what the Bible teaches. The Bible does teach that we have all sinned and we have fallen short from the glory of God. Every single one of us has sinned. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. We deserve death and punishment. Any sin. And so, you can't sit here this morning and think, well, haven't I been good enough? Hey, I'm a good guy. I'm a good husband. I'm a good mom. I've done all right. God will let me in to heaven when I die. I've been good enough. No, listen, one sin puts you in debt. I don't care how good you might think you are not perfect. The wages of sin is death. We're in debt. But you know that God loves us so much, He wants to get us out of debt. He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. He was born for one reason, to die on the cross for the sins of the world, to die in our place, and to rise again that third day. The Bible teaches that if you will ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, knowing that He died your death that you deserved, He takes your penalty. If you ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, He will forgive you of all your sins forever. Forgiveness only comes through prayer. Through saying a prayer, through saying a sinner's prayer, through saying the prayer that goes like this: Jesus, forgive me my debt. We get saved through the prayer of salvation. You do not get saved by working for it. You do not get forgiven of your sins by trying to be good enough. Man, I heard about a very popular commander in history. And he had led many troops into battle and killed many men. And as he got older, he began to feel uneasy. And he wanted to atone for all of his sins. So one night, he was visited by a strange creature who told him he must build 7 churches where no churches had been before, one for each of the forays in which he had fought. Believing that message to be valid, he did in fact build 7 churches. So what? He could have built 50 churches. Doesn't matter. You can't do anything to earn forgiveness. You know how you're forgiven of your sins? By asking Jesus Christ to forgive you. And that's done through prayer. And let me tell you this morning, salvation, the prayer of salvation, the prayer where you become born again, the essence of the heart of prayer that you will pray when you get saved goes like this: Jesus Christ, save me. It's a cry out. It's a cry of your heart where you Let God know, I have sinned, I am in debt, I need you, I'm falling at your feet, my God, be my Savior. That's the heart of praying the prayer of salvation. Have you prayed that prayer yet? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize how much debt you're in? And you've asked Jesus to cancel it. You must. If you don't, you'll be in debt. And you will pay for it. There's another way to look at this prayer, however, and that's from the perspective of being a Christian. Jesus is teaching this prayer to disciples, and he tells his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our debts." Christians, we're to pray, "Forgive us our debts." That's to be a part of our prayer life. What does that mean? Well, if you're here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, you know that your sins have been forgiven. It's an awesome thing. You know the joy of the Lord. You know the peace of God. You know that your forgiveness, your sins have been totally forgiven and wiped clean. You're saved. You're on the road to heaven. And that's a wonderful thing to know. But as a Christian, you've probably also noticed that you still sin. You fail. You're not perfect. Jesus tells us that in our prayer life, we need to deal with those sins. As Christians. The Bible says that as Christians, when we sin, we need to simply come to God as our Father now and confess them. Admit them. And ask Him to forgive us and to restore fellowship with Him. That's a very important concept. When you sin as a Christian, that doesn't mean that you have to go back and get saved again. You know, become born again, again, and again. Every time you sin as a Christian, it doesn't mean you have to go back and get saved again. If you have prayed the prayer of salvation, you've had that cry, your sins are forgiven. You are saved. You have the hope of heaven. But when you sin as a Christian, that sin does hinder your fellowship now with God. Your personal relationship with God. It puts a strain in it. See, when you come to God that first time and pray the prayer of salvation, it's almost a legal thing where you're talking to God as your judge and you're saying, I need to be saved. Give me a Savior. Forgive my sins. And God as judge says, you're right. I declare you righteous. I forgive you through and through. You are forgiven of all your sins. And that's a beautiful thing to know. Once and for all, you're saved and forgiven. But as a Christian, when you sin and you ask the Lord to forgive you, it's more of a personal thing. Now you're coming to Him as Dad. Dad, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Change me. Restore my fellowship with you. You don't lose relationship. You can lose fellowship with God when you sin as a Christian, and you need to ask for forgiveness. Confession is a very important part of prayer. Very important part of your prayer life. Forgive me my debts. You know, on this Mother's Day, I do hope all of you are going to be calling your mom, telling her how much you love her, if she's still alive, if she's around. You know, your mom had to put up a lot with you. And you need to call her and tell her how much you love her. That relationship between mom and son is a beautiful relationship. Should be. I love my mom so much. She loves me. And we have this wonderful relationship. And you know, I can never get out of the relationship. I can't help it. I was born into it. She's always going to be my mom. I'm going to be her son, always. And that relationship is always going to be there. Did you know that there were times when the fellowship between mom and Terry wasn't very good? Our relationship was strained because of some of the things that I had done. I'll never forget as a kid, I was standing at the top of our stairs. And I had a tennis ball in my hand. Bandit the dog was under the kitchen table, right in the line of fire. And I thought, hey, it'd be really neat to hit Bandit with a tennis ball. except that my parents and some friends were eating around the table. And I threw it, one bounce, two bounce, third bounce, right into the bowl of soup that an elderly guest was eating. And I'll never forget the look. I'll never forget her delayed reaction. Eek! And I'll never forget the look on my mom's face. And I'll never forget how quickly my dad went up those stairs. Fellowship between Terry and Mom was in bad state that day. And you know what? I needed to go to her and say, Mom, I'm really sorry for doing that. Forgive me. And see, that fellowship was restored. That's the idea here. That's how we look at this prayer. Forgive us our debts. You pray that prayer that one first time, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me, wipe it all clean. And he says, I declare you righteous. And then as a Christian, when you mess up and when you fail, you keep coming back to Dad and you make sure those things are right. And we have a responsibility to pray for that, my brother and sister in Christ. Confession should be a big part of your prayer life. And by the way, as you're praying to have your sins forgiven, plan on trying to stop committing them. Get serious about it. Repent. Move forward. Move on. We have a responsibility in our prayer life to pray for forgiveness. It's the greatest spiritual need. There's another principle here, though, that I want you to see. You can't miss it. Jesus is teaching us something very, very important that we need to know as Christians. Look at verse 12 again. Notice how Jesus tells us to pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh. Let me read that to you in another way. Listen to it this way. Jesus tells us to pray to our Father in heaven. Forgive us our debts in the same way that we're forgiving others. Their debts. Wow. Do you want God forgiving you the way you forgive others? Look down at verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Those are serious verses, my friend. And you know what the principle here is? Christian, we are to be forgiving people. My brother and sister in Christ, we are to forgive others. We're to forgive them their debts. That may be a hard thing for us to do, and I'll admit to you, that can be a hard thing, especially depending on how mean some people can be to you or the things that some people can do. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, you must forgive other people. You're commanded in Scripture to do so. I tell you, I love that story when Peter goes up to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 18, he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times, Lord? And Peter was being spiritual with that. The rabbis in his day said that you should forgive people three times and after that, no more. Peter comes to Jesus. Should I forgive seven times, Lord? I'm Peter. I'm spiritual. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. In other words, forgive people indefinitely. Is Jesus saying that we're only allowed to forgive people 490 times and then move on? Can you imagine if somebody came up to you? That's your 491st offense. No more for you, buddy. That person would be sick, sick in the mind. Could you imagine keeping a record of that? Jesus commands us to be those who forgive people indefinitely. And in Scripture, it says nothing about differences in what somebody's done to you. We're just told to forgive. That means, as Christians, we're to dismiss other people's sins. They've offended you, they've made a sin against you, you dismiss them. Not them, their sins. We're to forgive other people their sins and not give any more further notice to it. No more further attention, not to give it a second thought. Let it be clear, let it be done. I heard about a guy who complained to his buddy that whenever he argued with his wife, she got historical. His friend said, "You mean hysterical?" "No, historical. She dredges up the past and reminds me of every time I've failed her in the past." You do that with your spouse? I hope not. When somebody sins against you and you truly forgive them, you'll let it go and you'll dismiss the sin. You'll pardon them. You'll no longer bash them in front of other people. You see, you've forgiven them. You'll let it go. It is so important that we forgive people. And I know it can be hard, but it's an imperative. It's a command. And I'll tell you what, if you're a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in your heart. And He can empower you to forgive the other people in your heart who have greatly harmed you. I'll tell you, it's important because unforgiving hearts are sins. If you have an unforgiving spirit in your life, you are in sin. And that has hindered your relationship with God. It's hindered your fellowship with God. It really has sort of blocked the blessing of God in your life. Your prayer life will not be as effective. I mean, think of it. If you have an unforgiving heart and you're coming to the Lord and you're saying, "Lord, forgive me as I'm forgiving other people," how effective was that prayer? Not very effective. It's imperative. Look at verse 14 and 15. I do need to make comments on that. So important. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Boy, that sounds tough, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus says, if you forgive people, then I'll forgive you. If you don't forgive people, I won't forgive you. That's intense. That almost sounds like working for your salvation. Is that what the Bible teaches? That in order for us to get saved, we have to forgive everybody in our lives first and then we'll get saved? It almost sounds like it. It's scary, but it's not. We know from Scripture that you only get saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You get saved of any sin when you come to God and you cry out for forgiveness and you invite Him to be your Savior, to be saved. I think He's speaking of that context of fellowship with God again. If you have an unforgiving heart, you're not forgiving other people. God's not forgiving you the little sins that you're committing against Him. And your fellowship with Him is blocked. It's strained. You need to confess your unforgiving heart. You need to get that right. So important. I will say this, however, if you are truly saved, the fruit in your life as a Christian should be that of forgiveness. Christians forgive. That's their new nature. And if you're one of those people, man, if anybody gets in your way, they're on your blacklist forever. I mean, you're one of these people that you fall into grudges and bitterness so quickly. My friend, you need to question whether or not you understand salvation. Whether or not you understand what it means to be a Christian. Whether or not you've ever given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's the deal. Here's the motivating factor. Here's what the Bible teaches. A Christian can forgive anyone when the Christian understands how much they have been forgiven. That's the idea. My brother and sister in Christ, we need to be reminded time and time again of how much we have been forgiven. God forgave us. You think of all the things that you've done in your life. You think of all the people that you've hurt. And you think of God giving His Son so that you could be forgiven. And if you meditate on that, and if you understand that, and if you truly, truly have accepted that and believe that, you will be grateful, and there won't be anyone in your life that you can't forgive. Will it always be easy? No. But you will get to a point where you can forgive. There was a few weeks ago, I had one of the, I guess I would call it one of the most saddest discussions I've had with another person in a long time. It was after a funeral service. And this lady had came up to me after the service, and she told me how she absolutely hated the person who had died. She said, I hated him. I hated the way he treated his family. I hated the way he treated his kids. I hated the way he treated his wife. And Pastor, I just want you to know that secretly down in my heart, I'm glad he's dead. And she said, and I know, and I'm just being honest, how can I deal with this? You know what I told her? I told her to look at some of these scriptures that I brought up before you this morning. I told her to go home and to meditate on how much she's been forgiven. Said, you go home and you find a spot and you read verses like Ephesians 4:32 where it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You understand how much you've been forgiven and you'll forgive other people. And I hope she did that. Maybe you're here this morning and there's somebody in your life that you hold a grudge against. You have bitterness in your heart. It eats you up. I cannot forgive that person, you think. You can forgive that person in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will forgive that person if you understand and remember how much you yourself have been forgiven. The Bible says we love other people because we've been loved by God. And we forgive other people their debts because God forgives us our debts. Who wants to live in the prison of bitterness anyways? What a horrible way to live life. Let it go. Dismiss it. Forgiveness from God is available. Isn't that beautiful? You can be forgiven of all your sins. It can all be canceled. If you're a Christian here this morning and you have sin in your life, you need to bring that before the Lord and you need to confess it. You need to be ask God to forgive it and restore that fellowship with your God. Let the channel of blessing be open again. Let it flow. Don't hold on to that. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know for a fact that you're in debt. Right now, you know I'm in debt to God. I have sinned. I understand that I need a Savior. Do it right now. Cry out to God. Lord Jesus, forgive me my debts. Don't wait. Don't ever wait. Have your sins been canceled? Is the debt in the heavenly account for you cleared? It can't be today. Don't mess around with it, though. Don't wait. Peter Eldersville tells of a rich Christian who had a large company of employees, and many of them owed him money. He was constantly trying to teach them something about Christianity, and one day he hit upon a plan. He posted a notice for his employees to see that said, "All those who will come to my office between 11 and 12 o'clock on Thursday morning to present an honest statement of their debts will have them canceled at once." The debtors read the notice with a great deal of skepticism. And on Thursday morning, although they gathered in the street in front of the office, not one of them went to the door. Instead, they gossiped and complained about their employer. And they ridiculed the notice he had posted. They said it didn't make sense. Finally, at 11:45, one man jumped forward, dashed up the steps into the office, and presented his statement. "Why are you here?" the rich man asked him. "Because you promised to cancel the debts of all those who came as you instructed," the other replied. "And do you believe the promises?" "Yes, I do." "Why do you believe it?" persisted the employer. Because although it was too much for me to understand, I know that you are a good man who would not deceive anyone." The rich man took the bill and marked it paid in full. At which time, the poor man, overcome, cried out, "I knew it! I told them so! They said it couldn't be true, and now I'm going to show them." "Wait," said his benefactor, "it's not quite 12 o'clock. The others are not entitled to any special proof of my sincerity." When the clock struck 12, the forgiven debtor ran out waving his receipt in the face of his fellows. With a mad rush, they made for the door, but it was too late. The door was locked. Our God is a rich man who wants to cancel your debt. And he will. And don't be the person who's standing out on the street. "Oh, no, can't be true. Too good to be true. Nothing's for free." Listen, listen. You go to him and you get your debt pardoned. Get it canceled. The only difference with that story is that God commands Christians who have had their debts to be paid in full to go out and tell everybody, "It's been paid. I'm forgiven. I'm saved." You can be saved too. You can have your debts forgiven. I'm going to give some of you an opportunity this morning to do what people did in the first service. They raised their hand and they were forgiven of all their sins. They asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never had that cry of your heart towards God. You've never prayed this prayer of salvation, admitting that you need Jesus. You're going to have an opportunity right now. And for those of us who are Christians, if there's sin in our life, let's take this time to confess them. And let's also take this time to ask God to help us to forgive other people, shall we? Let's bow our heads. We'll close the service. Father, I thank you that you are so good. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for our sins to be totally canceled, totally forgiven, wiped clean. Praise your name. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Father, I want to pray for us as your people, for those here this morning who belong to you. Lord, help us to forgive other people in our lives. I pray, Lord, for anyone here who is struggling with bitterness towards another person. I ask, Lord, that you would enable them now to forgive, to let it go, so that your blessings would flow through their lives again. Restore that fellowship. And then, Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning, right now, who needs to have their sins totally forgiven. You've never come to Christ for yourself. You've never prayed for yourself, "Forgive me my debts." If that's you, and you know you're in debt and you want to be free from it right now, I ask that you would raise up your hand right now. You show me. Show the Lord. Just raise up your hand as high as you can. Make that indication. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? You're going to come to the Lord and you're going to ask Him to be your Savior. By raising your hand, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. If you prayed, if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. Remember, forgiveness for sin comes through a prayer. And in your heart, I want you to pray to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. This is you asking God now to forgive you. Just pray after me quietly in your heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, cancel the debt. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and for rising again the third day and for taking my penalty. I invite you right now to be the Lord of my life, to be my Savior, and make me born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that, come share that with me right here after the service. Just say, I prayed the prayer, I raised my hand. If you have any other issues of forgiveness in your life that you need, we had several people come up after the first service asking that we would pray that the Lord would enable them to forgive certain people in their life. Let's stand and let's end this service with a song.
Darkest hour.